Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Emmanuel this morning. We hope that you will all enjoy sharing in our worship this morning, whether you're here in person or you're listening to the service after the event through our recorded ministry. Very grateful to Shelley for stepping in to play our music this morning. The Bible readers are Irene Chesterman and myself, Don MacArthur, and the prayers of intercession will be led by Wally Knight, reading prayers that have been prepared for us by John Blakesley. I've been asked to mention the plea in Weekly News for more people who might be prepared to share in our Bible reading. If you volunteer, you'll just get asked to read the Bible perhaps once every few months. If you are able to help, Liz Gleed would be very grateful to know names today or tomorrow, if at all possible. So if you could let me know, or Robert know, or email Liz yourself if you have her email contact, she will be very pleased to hear from you. And finally, I will just remind you that we are restarting evening worship, which is a different format and concept from what we do in the morning. If you've not experienced this and you happen to be free at 6:30 this evening, why not come along and join us? I shall now light the Christ candle to give us a short period of pause before we begin our worship.
Good morning and welcome to our time of worship here this morning. Two things, just picking up from where Don finished. You will see if you've got the Weekly News that the reading tonight is the same as one of the readings this morning. The content tonight will be quite different. Not that I am messing up with the Bible readings, but the Bible readings do have the opportunity of showing us different things. So there is a question, and if you have between now and this evening an answer, the question is, what about the fish? Come along and share your wisdom. The second point is that Jeff is in a lot of pain, and that's the reason he's not here today. Had to cancel a choir practice on Friday, and then sent out a SOS to Shelley to be able to lead the music today, and Liz was planning to come, but she says the patient is rather unruly. No idea what that means whatsoever. Well, let's be honest, she didn't use those exact words. Those are my ministerial interpretation of what she was trying to say, if she had been free to say it. This is the second month of the year. We're already in February, and the first Sunday of this month of February. And we continue our journey as disciples of Jesus Christ. The psalm for this morning says, "Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us against the wrath of our enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers us. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." It's that sense of belonging, of longing, of turning to God, whom we know is there. And this will lead our words, our thoughts, during the service this morning. Our hymns this morning are all from Sing Praise, and That's if you can't see it. That's what the orange here on the side means. In this case, it means sing praise. Even though you may not see the initials, you probably can see the colors, but if not, I'll announce it. Sing praise. It is 299. O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. Just to put your mind at peace, if you hear the creaking door or see it move, it's not somebody listening on the other side, it's just the wind. With the windows open to give us the fresh air that is mandatory. But this is an old building, and the spirits roam the corridors and passageways, but fear not, it is just the wind. I'd invite you to join with me in this time of prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving and of confession, and we will end with the words of the Lord's Prayer said together. Let us pray. Here we are today, some of us together in this building, others listening during the week to what goes on. Here we are, seeking our communion with you, knowing that you have promised to be with us. Here we are, in expectation and in hope and in anticipation of what this hour will provide, and hoping that it goes beyond this hour, that your truth and your love and your grace will walk with us during the week in what we say and what we do. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for the sense of awe and wonder that always comes with being in your presence. You are the Lord of all creation, of all that exists, all that was, and all that is to come. And your creation, in its beauty and diversity, that you called good. here we come, overwhelmed, because you are God, and we, your children, aware of our failings, of our vulnerability, are still your children. But sometimes being in your presence reminds us too much of what we have not done. Here we are, O Lord, like those many before us who rejoiced, who were challenged, whose lives were changed, and through what they did and said, have opened up new ways for us to be here today. We pray that through what we do and say, we may be able to open up roads and doors and windows for other people who search, other people with their questions, other people, though different from us, still your children, no matter what. Here we are, O Lord, seeking your peace. The peace that will make us whole and new. The peace that would lead us on the way that you have prepared. And, O Lord, in awe, in joy, and in gratefulness we are here. Because you too are the forgiving God. The God that sees through all that we would prefer nobody, not even you, to know and see. And you continue to love us. You continue to call us. You continue to promise your presence. Sometimes, O Lord, we have said too much. Sometimes our words have hurt others. Forgive us for the times we don't know how to measure what to say and not to say. Forgive us if our actions have also brought pain to others. Forgive us when we are too rapid to judge others. Forgive us, dear God, when we want to turn everything into the way we see life, as if that were the only possible way. Forgive us, dear God, when we get wrapped up in our own ways. And through the grace of your love and the richness of the Spirit working in surprising ways, show us that as we have been forgiven, we too can forgive. As we are loved, we may love. Lead us, O Lord, and that we may learn to follow. For you, O Lord, awesome as you are the close by, the loving, and that smile in your eyes and on your lips reminds us that there is a new opportunity. To you be the glory forever and ever. And we say together, as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. And just so that everybody knows, unless things change and we announce it beforehand, the offering from now on will be received in the plates and brought forward for a dedication. Loving God, what is in the plates is part of what we can give. What we give by different ways also. We present it to you and ask that you may bless those who have to decide how the offering is used, those who receive from the offering, and our lives in what we give in word, in action, in thought, to the glory of your name. Just been reminded, I forgot the grace. Shall we share the grace together? Thank you, Edith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The order of service does say, and we end with the grace together, but I was down there, the order of service is up here. Dear me. Our next hymn from Sing Praise, it's hymn 140. We cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayers, yet we believe your grace responds where faith and doubt unite to care.
Thank you.
for this morning.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 645 of the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
If you wish to follow the New Testament reading, it begins on page 59 of the New Testament section of the Bible, although it's virtually all on page 60. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for leading us in the reading. Though the choir didn't meet on Friday, they will be leading us in the anthem. Yes, don't look surprised. I'm not asking you to come up here. I'm just asking you to listen to what you once sang and was recorded. So now, from our Celebration 7040 CD, the choir will sing the anthem. I hope you recognize what you've sung. Did sing it at one time, or else it wouldn't be recorded. Lord of the deep waters, you call us from the safety of the shore to an adventure of the spirit. Open wide our arms to embrace the world you dare to serve, through Jesus Christ, who gives life in abundance. Amen. Isaiah, Simon, were in awe, overwhelmed, surprised, amazed. It's not every day you come face to face, as they did, with the seraphim and the holy choir, holy, 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 Lord host of hosts. Not every day are we asked to cast the nets and don't know what to do with what comes up. Not every day do we hear the question, and who shall I send? And you look around, there ain't many people around to answer that question. It's only you. So it's either send me, Lord, or sit in the silence. Not every day Simon, the experienced fisherman, is overwhelmed by following the instructions of a carpenter. What can he know about fishing? And in one way or another, both Isaiah and Simon have the same questions. You can't be looking for me, Lord. I'm so simple. There are so many other people much better prepared for whatever your plans are, and I'm not sure I want to know yet. But they are both aware that something amazing has just happened. And there's only one way forward. God's grace is present, available, and all that we can do is accept God's grace. And why is that so difficult? We pray for it, We seek it. We hope for it. Why does it become so difficult when it is there for us to take up and live by it? Because what the readings today tell us is that God has accepted these people for what they are and how they are. Both Isaiah and Simon realize that they are not in control of what is going on. They can simply remind themselves that God is the source of all that is happening. And they fall before God in respect, in awe, surprised, but holding to the words with which we began our service today in Psalm 138. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And what then if God was really serious when he said, you know, I have something that only you can do? Just try to imagine how frightened Isaiah was. I mean, he was in presence of the seraphim, six pairs of wings, the angelic choir. He was alone. Try to put yourself in Simon's place. They are both face to face with a power they cannot explain. They both feel unworthy. They know they're unworthy. They both fall empty when they have come face to face with the complete. And they discover that in spite of all that, the complete is really addressing them. They are in the presence of the force of life, of peace, of justice, of grace. Both Isaiah and Simon are being made whole by the love and the grace of God. And no matter how much they protest that they are unworthy, God does not take that into account. And so we come to these readings this morning. And if you got the weekly news before you walked in this morning, you knew what the readings were, and you may have taken a look at it and probably didn't think it had anything special to say to you. But that is what God does. He doesn't trap us, but he suddenly says, do you know what? This does speak to you. This is about us. How many of us feel unworthy? How many of us feel that there are many around who are better equipped, better qualified? And it all depends what we're talking about. We are right. I mean, I've used this example hundreds of times. Don't follow me in singing. There are many who are much more worthy of being followed in the singing than I am. But it's not going to stop me singing. And that's all I can do. I belch out the words. And in my ears, they are music, while others would run a mile from that moment. Rightly so. But I listen to that CD, and I listen to so much that I have, and it moves me, because I am in presence of those who have been called because of a particular capacity and talent, and are sharing it. When we put up the excuse that we are unworthy, do you think God doesn't know? Do we really think that God hasn't worked that out already? God wouldn't ask me to make a flower arrangement that moved you. But he has called other people. And how many of those people that do flower arrangements will begin by saying, I'm not very good at it. And they firmly believe what they're saying. Until in pastoral terms, I can't call them any other, you tell them to shut up, that what they're saying is rubbish, because what their flower arrangements do is move people to a deeper understanding of what worship can be. God calls. But you know what God doesn't do? God will never respond for us. God will leave it up to us to respond. And sometimes God has to wait quite a long time. And even when we may respond with skepticism, God will always respond with abundance. And let's be dead honest. Taking Simon Peter as an example, we may say yes, and then stumble and fall and deny and contradict as we go along the way. And God knows that we are capable of that, but still calls. And Simon will deny and curse no matter how much he wants. But he will do, to the best of his ability, what he can do. And the women who were not considered at all were the first on the resurrection morning. And nobody believed them until a man went and saw, but they were the chosen to take the message. Didn't God know that they would not be believed? Of course he did. He knew the culture the men were working in and living in. But for one reason or another, he wanted them, the women, to be the first proclaimers. So probably 20 centuries later, we can say that God's plan was clearly set out. Both these readings this morning come together as an offer of comfort and hope. Because doesn't God know how exhausted we all are? How fed up we are? How we are tired of being laughed at or not taken seriously? And I'm not only talking about the COVID reality, but that is being part of the reality. There is an uncertainty of the present and of the future. How long? What's going to happen? Who's coming back to church? Who's not coming back to church? Who feels too tired to take another step? Who will respond to what Don mentioned at the beginning of the service, where Liz says, is there anybody who wants to read? Who will lift up their voice and say, the next time you hear, that we're heading towards election of elders? I've never done it. I could never do it. Not in your right mind would I ever do it again. But again, it often seems that God is not in his right mind when he asks us to do something, when we turn around and say, not me. Look at so-and-so. They're much better prepared for than I am. To which God can say, do you think I don't know it? But you know your talents. Are you fully aware of what you can do? Do you really believe that I don't know what I'm asking? Well, dear God, sometimes it seems that you aren't. And he would say, yes, sometimes it does, but wait and see. How many people feel that they can't keep going anymore? It's a reality. On Thursday, Friday, I was on the Zoom meeting of the Mission Committee, where I represent the Southwest Synod. And the 13 synods there present were saying, we're all struggling, but we've also all discovered amazing stories in this. People who have suddenly found that they have the capacity of asking somebody they haven't seen for a long time, how are you doing? Or somebody who said, you know what? We prayed for you today. And you can never, never guess the impact that is going to have on somebody else. How many feel that they are giving up? Even on those things which they enjoyed before, that provided them with happiness of sharing. That is what Simon and Andrew and those who were with them discovered that night. They'd been out all night and nothing happened. I'm sure they were cold. I'm sure their hands ached from trying to cast the nets and pulling them in and sending them out again. They were tired. It was the new morning. We just want to go to bed, call it a day, and come back tomorrow. And this carpenter comes up and says, hey, Try again. Probably in a different place. But come on, what does a carpenter know about fishing? I don't know. My father all his life was in the glass industry. What did he know about fishing? Nothing. He'd take me on fishing expeditions. I got as bored as you can imagine. He wanted somebody silent around him. His son was never silent. No comments on that. And he never fished anything. And we went on holidays and he always took his fishing gear. Even we didn't have a car. It would come on the coach with us. And it would go back having come out once. But Dad lived for that once on holiday. That was holiday for him. Why should the disciples do what they know how to do in a different way, in a different place? They knew what they were doing. Doesn't Isaiah and Simon Peter in the readings this morning describe us or describe the church today? The URC, or take whatever church you want. And what if Jesus is taking advantage of these times that we feel we have no control, sometimes even on our own lives, and invites us to do something we know how to do and do it a different way? We've all learned that is anathema in the church. You don't do things you know how to do in a different way. You don't sit in a different pew. You don't sing a different song. You don't clap except in "You Will Go Out with Joy," and then it takes a bit of time. We don't. Why are we going to do something in a different way? We've always done it the same way. And sometimes we can just turn around and say, "And where has that led us? Or it served a purpose? Is it serving a purpose?" These are valid questions, and this is the time we should be asking them. How do we see our present, individually and as a church? How do we imagine the future? And that is a deep question. Are we giving up? Are we calling it a day? Are we saying, let somebody else do it? If you've got the weekly news, this time please take it home. Because at the foot of the first page, there's a few lines with the words, "Challenge for the week ahead." Try and connect what it says there, what I've asked you to read, with what you remember of the readings today, and what you remember, if you do remember anything of what I've said. We must remember that these readings don't start with Isaiah or Simon, or with Robert, or with Helen, or with any of us. They don't start with us. They start with God. God is at the beginning of all things. God who has called the tired, the exhausted, the frustrated people and saying, "I want you around." To do what? Just wait. And one day you will discover it. Are you willing even to wait? And in there, a response to God, the promise that we will be transformed. Simon will become Peter. That Peter that always opened his mouth and thought 10 minutes after, and sometimes said the most rubbish of things. But he had a good heart. But there he was. "I will follow you to the ends of the world." I don't know who this guy is. Never seen him before. In 5 minutes. In their response, none of it was a success story. If you read beyond the reading of Isaiah today, God is going to say to Isaiah, "Yes, you can go. But you know what? Nobody's going to listen to you. You're going to feel really frustrated at times." And the poetry and the beauty of Isaiah has inspired music and prayers and lives for 3,000 years nearly. They aren't success stories, but they're the stories of God's chosen people, the agents of grace and love that make the difference. "Who shall I send?" Or Jesus saying to Simon, "Go, I will call you, send you to be fishers of people." Each of us here today, those listening to the service, those who have given up at one time or another were called. Each of us is different. Praise the Lord for that. And our callings will be different callings, but on the same direction. God knows us. God knows even our failings. But the impact of the love and mercy we receive, that will never be able to be measured. What we should realize then is that though we have been called in, we will be sent out. We will have to go out. It's a calling in for going out. And simple as that may be, we can only do it if we are filled with that grace which God says, here it is, don't worry. It's mine to give, and I choose to give it. May each of us be reminded of that moment. Then we said, do you know, I want to try and follow you. Of that moment where we said, yes, it makes a difference. Of that moment when we said, dear God, I don't know why I said yes, but there is still something in it. Because after that, nothing was the same. And when we think of the future, the way we live it will make a difference to those who are coming behind us. We are in good company. Isaiah and Simon are on the same road that we are. Look around. There are some wonderful people beside you, in front of you, behind you, or not being able to be here today. We have each other. And you know what? In his grace, God has said, I'm walking with you. In our imperfection, we are made stronger. And in our lack of love and courage and trust, God finds a way to come in and say, let's do this together. Amen. Lord, I have no idea of what I'm doing. I don't see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I am following you and doing your will does not really mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right hand. Though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me face to face with my perils alone. Amen. That's a prayer written by Thomas Merton, which I found most appropriate for the words today. Our next hymn, one we know well, it's Sing Praise 158, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Three times it's asked. And in biblical terms, three times is one of the forms of the complete.
Thank you.
Now, Wally will lead us in the prayers of intercession that John Blakesley prepared for us this morning. Thank you, John, and thank you, Wally.
As we come together in our time of prayer together, we remember last Wednesday's Feast of Candlemas, the presentation of Jesus in the temple. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. For the love of whom ye do this day celebrate the joys of the temple with a season of festivity. Alleluia. This morning we pray for our Queen on this, the 70th anniversary of her accession. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Creator God, thank you for our world and the places where we live. Help us all to be mindful that we are all created equal in your sight, and accept our deep regret that despite this, there is still so much inequality to be found. Help us to remember that you want us to be good stewards of your creation, living responsibly in the lands and seas of the earth. May all future growth be sustainable, and may we ensure that its abundance is fairly shared for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, Lord, help us to use our influence within our families and communities to bring peace, joy, and fun into people's lives, instead of stirring up strife. Help us be reliable and honest in what we do, and friendly to all whom we meet in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus can free us from our burdens and heal our bodies and spirits. We pray for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the world, and within our church, those suffering from COVID, among others, Bill and Judith Roberts, and, nice to see them, those recovering here now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, when death separates from us, those we love, and we find it hard to live without them, take from us all bitterness and resentment, and help us to remember that death has no power at all over the peace you give, and that the love we shared with our departed loved ones goes beyond the grave. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, in the weeks ahead, help us to conduct our lives with dignity, always giving and expecting respect, always praying before taking action, and following each action with prayerful thanksgiving. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
realised is not in the weekly news and that you should be aware of is that next Sunday, after the service, there will be a church meeting here. I take it we'll do it here because people are here already and you're as distant as you can be. And we invite you to remember this and invite you to stay if you can possibly do so. And our final hymn is hymn 312 from Sing Praise. The heavens proclaim God's glory, the skies sing out in praise, extolling their Creator through endless night and days. Comfortable, and it is both. And we go to places that may seem hostile or complicated, and where life is not always as smooth as we would like it. But we don't go alone. We receive the blessing and the promise of God's presence. We receive the assurance that we are in God's company, that God will give us the words we need and reassure us of the everlasting arms surrounding us. So go in peace, and the blessing of God that is Father, Jesus who is the Redeemer, and the Spirit which is truth, go with you, guide you, sustain you, and allow you to live that promise, send me, and God will follow. And God will go beyond, and good God will protect. In that peace and in that assurance we live.